Kickstart your new year with the Marketing Mad Men. Join us as we welcome Evan and Lisa Benson of Pause EastCom. Discover how you can pause and reflect on successful New Year's resolutions, the hot and cold secrets of contrast therapy, and plunge into insights for starting a business. This episode is packed with inspiration and practical tips for a thriving 2025.
They say marketing is a madman's game. So now we turn it over to the Marketing Madman with Nick Constantino and Trip Joe.
Happy Saturday and welcome to the Marketing Madman. Nick Constantino here, and I'm with Evan and Lisa Benson of Pause, the first Pause on the East Coast, the first Pause in Georgia. Always happy about that. Always happy when Georgia gets things first and is one of the early adopters. And it's also not the first time I've heard of a comparison between California and Georgia, maybe the movie industry. We're going to have a really fun conversation. We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions, those dirty words of resolutions. We're going to talk about entrepreneurial journeys. And we're going to talk about a lot of prospecting, looking for the right opportunity. So Evan and Lisa, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Nick, thanks so much for having us in. We're super excited to be here. Happy holidays to everybody and hope everybody's got all their gifts, at least in sight for this year.
Yeah. Let's hope so. The shopping season's so freaking long. You have to. I mean, the sales start on like October 2nd. They almost destroy Christmas. My kids are little, and like, you start Halloween on September 1st. The day Halloween ends, Christmas is all up, and people wonder by the time it actually comes, everyone's like, okay, well, you know, that's the fun. So it's amazing how they find a way to capitalism sucks the fun out of everything. But anyway, how about you, Lisa?
Definitely.
How you doing?
I am good, and I'm just more, again, grateful for being here, but wishing people are feeling good right now instead of feeling depleted and feeling now the stress of having to set New Year's goals, as you were talking about.
Yeah, so I want to get to your guys' background, but I think that's a really good place to start. I find it fascinating that we're in a world where you have every bit of information at your fingertips. You can literally say, here's my body weight, here's my family history, here's where I'm from in the world, go into AI and say, what should I do? And it will spit out something that is better for you and more accurate than anything a doctor would have prescribed. Yet we're unhealthier and dumber than we've ever been in the history of this civilization. We rely on these things. We're sporadic. We're too worried about dopamine rushes. We're not thinking of the whole thing. So I think it's a good conversation to have of why New Year's resolutions fail, what's wrong, and how people have to start forming habits and doing things the right way. And, you know, one of the things I love, and again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, the concept of contrast theory is more about body control and breathing control. Mm-hmm. And it's about overcoming those things, because once you can do something like that, like, and look, don't start jumping into an ice plunge bath, like start with a cold shower. Mm-hmm. Right after you work out in the morning. Yeah. I wake up at 5:30 in the morning, I work out, and the first thing I do is an ice cold shower. It's terrible the first five times you do it, and then it gets easier every time after that. So anyway, we got ahead of ourselves, as I usually do. So let's start briefly. This has been an entrepreneurial journey. You both have different stories of how you got to this point. Lisa, why don't we start with you, because you came a little less orthodox route as far as business goes. So talk about previous roles and how you got to here, and what made you finally realize that it's time to go out on my own.
Yeah, so I started, my entire career has been focused on nonprofit, okay. So either in service of children or families. And so I started locally, and then I worked for a national organization. And so a lot of my role just dealt with career support as my career progressed. It turned more and more into helping others figure out what they want to do.
Okay.
And so that's my background.
In your experience, yep. And in your honest opinion, and again, I'm throwing another curveball, what is the biggest problem? What blocks does this country put in the way that makes it so hard for these people to get the services or to get the direction that they need to figure out what they want to do? What is making it so hard?
I think there's too much information.
Okay.
And everybody thinks that they have to follow a specific, and this is literally for all of life, doesn't matter what realm, they think they have to follow a very specific protocol, they're going to fall off and be unsuccessful.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling what is right for them uniquely and without anybody else. So I think that is the huge roadblock. Too much information, and then thinking that you have to follow that information versus just feel your way through for what's right for you.
Yeah, and I think, as I say it, like, one of the things I always ask for is, I never ask for the times are good. Who cares? Yeah. Like, hey, tell me when you overcame adversity. Yeah. And the only way you can fail adversity is to set yourself up to fail at it and learn from it. And we are not allowing ourselves to fail. Everything is so perfection-based. My daughter's 7 in a private school. I hate it. I was a public school kid in New York, but my wife has her on a regimen where if she's not getting straight A's, I'm like, what if she's not good at English or writing or writing? Yeah. Who cares? She's great at math. Why are we, why it doesn't have to be everything. These kids, if they're specializing, let them figure out now what they're good or bad at. Mm-hmm. Right? She's not lazy. She's doing the work. She's smart. The teacher actually gave us a report. It said, like, she can't read. She goes, but she comprehends beautifully. I go, wait a second. So you're telling me that she can't put the words together, but she comprehends? Come on. And the teacher's like, uh-oh. Kind of like, you caught me. Like, that's not possible. So I agree with you. What kind of advice did you give these kids? Because I'm sure this is going to help with your customer service. And in the future, that's a thankless job. That you are always in a role where you're giving, no matter what, the parents are probably asses about it. Like, so tell me about the role and what the interaction was like with the kids and the parents.
I think there's just so much stress in life, period. It doesn't matter in what realm. And so it's about taking things and kind of like digesting them for what works for you.
Yeah.
Again, this kind of theme, the hard work no one wants to do. No one wants to get to know themselves.
Yeah.
No one wants to know what is hard for me and then how can I dissect that to make it easier. And so when we don't do that, we avoid and evade everything else because, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to turn around because I'm being distracted by here's how to write a perfect resume. Yeah. Here is how you ace interview questions. Yeah. Here is what your career is supposed to be.
And it's a normal defense mechanism. Yeah. It's not like it's an unheard of thing. Yeah. And the people who respond the best in those situations are usually the most successful. Yeah. It's a normal. Maybe what you should have done is kept doing what you were doing so then you could have referred the people under all the stress and be like, yo, jump into an ice bath. That would have been the ultimate sales role. So, Evan, what about you, brother?
Yeah, so my background, I'm a CPA by trade. Okay. So I worked for a couple of the major public accounting firms.
Okay.
I've had a couple of industry roles. From an entrepreneurial perspective, I've done a lot in the real estate space.
Okay.
But Paws is our first move into kind of a brick and mortar setup and franchising. And so we've considered a lot of different business endeavors.
Sure.
Over the years, but we were really looking for something that really checked three boxes. So we wanted a community connection, personal interest, and a financial opportunity. And Paws was the first one that could check all of those boxes. And so when we established that, we were very quick to try to move forward and try to execute on that.
Yeah, I love it. I think, one, the CPA background, right? Whenever you're talking numbers, there's a lot of the personal taken out of it, right?
Yes.
You're talking numbers, right?
Yes.
This is not, and what's the ultimate thing when you work for a company? You don't want to be a number. Well, you live in the world of numbers. So you have the raw, hard data. Like this is stuff, and that balance between creativity and being analytical is huge in the world right now. But for a long time, you were either the guy with the creative guy in the corner coming up with the ideas, or you're the guy crunching the numbers to say how bad those ideas were.
Yep.
So you have the side of, all right, well, these numbers don't lie. Let's look at the raw numbers. And you have the side of, like, hold on, here's the compassion, and here's the everybody goes through stuff side of the business. So any kind of opportunity benefited from that.
Yep.
Right? No offense, but two CPAs starting a business together is going to run a very different kind of business.
That's right.
So I think, so backgrounds are set. So you both come from different worlds. I will ask you about that part of the world. What do you think is most understood? Everyone here is Ernst & Young and KPMG and Deloitte and all these big guys. And they have such weird perspectives of what they do. And what they do is so varied.
Yeah.
They're consultants, they're accountants, they're auditors. What do you think people most get wrong about the industry in which you were in? And did it affect your desire to kind of get out and get it and do stuff on your own?
Yeah, I think, anytime somebody hears about a accounting firm, they think it's just a tax practice because that's how people relate to it.
So how do I cheat on my taxes? I'm just kidding. Keep going. We're getting near that time of year also.
Yeah, that'd be a different show. But
that's where my LLC comes into play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think people automatically go to taxes because that's how they familiarize themselves with accounting is they think of taxes. But, we think about these big firms and, it's changing by the day in terms of the breadth of services, but there's a very important public good that's done by these public accounting firms by going in and auditing some of these big firms, making sure that they're reporting numbers the proper way and that we are not going to have another major financial crisis as a result of a big fraud or a big company that gets taken down. So I think that's the best misconception is that these firms do a lot more than just taxes.
Yeah, and the firms are held liable. I mean, if they make a mistake and they read the books wrong or they don't catch a certain amount of fraud, and it's happened, within this building, one of the family members of the owners got into a business, turned out to be a complete fraud. They didn't lose the money. Ernst & Young, who audited and approved and stamped those books, were the ones who ate that money. So there's a lot of risk in there. So it's not just a, hey, we're running numbers. It is if we're not triple, quadruple, octuple checking this thing and the mistake is wrong, that's on us all. So I think people don't understand how much responsibility. It's not just like a good job, but here's a check.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm taking on personal responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility here.
Yeah. I mean, the partners at these firms are risk managers.
Yeah,
for sure. And to your point about the consequences, there's a firm that used to be called Arthur Anderson,
yeah.
That's no longer around because they, you know, had some bad audits.
Yeah.
So it is definitely more of, it is all about risk management, I think, at the partner level. But I think that's one of the big misconceptions with the firms is they do a lot more than just taxes.
Yeah. 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 And I think risk management is a huge part of psychology, and there's
yep.
so much that goes into it. And like for at its core, like, look, this country is going through, has gone through times, but these are all things we've been through before. We
yeah.
love to look forward and think about now, but no one looks back. You know, the Republican and Democrats they've switched who they've been appealing to, right? The Democrats were working people, and that's what Trump took. He took working class people.
Yep.
So we've switched so much that if you look back to history, you probably find similar scenarios
mm-hmm.
and ways to go. And psychology doesn't change that much. People's
right.
interests in what they're trying to achieve. The only thing I think that has changed, and I think this will be a good part of the marketing conversation, is we understand more about psychology now. So we're bringing more about the biological responses into things like marketing, right? Like everyone is trying to rush you with dopamine and hook you on dopamine because that's the addiction. That's what social media does. That's what gambling does. And I'm going to the casino tomorrow if anyone's curious. So we'll test it out. I'm going up to Harris Cherokee. Love those guys. But they've brought that into the mainstream, and that's what I think makes things like social media so dangerous,
oh, yeah.
is that they've learned so much now about our responses. But ironically, the responses haven't changed much.
Mm-hmm.
A dopamine rush, all it is a reward for your body to go seek out something that, like, so if it's food, you smell food, dopamine rush means go eat, dummy. Like, there's no higher thought.
Yeah.
We haven't changed that much.
Right.
They're just capitalized. The difference is you used to be able to find the serotonin that said, okay, you got enough, now chill.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to get the serotonin. They just want to keep flooding the dopamine.
Yep.
And then we wonder why we have so many drug addicts and we have so many problems because you bring in this neuroscience into this and now it's very addicting. So
yep.
that being said, in the next segment, we're going to talk about how to shut your phone off, jump into an ice cold bath, and then jump into a sauna and see how you would regulate your temperatures and your dopamine that way.
That's right.
So you've been listening to The Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3, and we will be right back.
Now back to The Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to The Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3. Nick Constantino here with Evan and Lisa Benson. And we've gotten to it. We're going to talk about pause now. So you guys both had backgrounds that for whatever reason, and you think you've set up the reasons really well, decided it was time to let's go do something different. Let's go out on our own. Let's go figure this out. Okay. Most people, when they do that, think that all of the work is done because they made that hard decision and they kind of half cock it and kind of just go in and they kind of like, let's do this. Okay. But it seems like there's much more due diligence involved in this process.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get to the fun of the location and what's going on now, talk about some of that process. And let's go into this under the guise of people who are in this position now that feel like they want to leave what they're doing and start on their own, how much time it actually takes to get this right. So Lisa, why don't we start with you? Talk a little bit about what you went through and what the work was to just find this and how nerve-wracking it is to just find what the right opportunity is.
Yeah, I mean, I think first you started with like every time you're getting right ads. I said as soon as we decided this is something we want to do, and it actually came from a very personal place. I had psoriasis from my daughter that I got during COVID.
Yep.
My dad just was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, sadly, and then Evan started, you know, accountants and CPAs and that industry, very type A, stressed out all the
yeah.
time. He started learning about the benefits of cold plunge. And
yeah.
so that brought us to like, you know what, maybe this is something we should pursue. Immediately, I just call it Big Brother. We started getting ads all the time about franchise. And so
yeah.
from that process, that became number one, what looked cool, what looked like it aligned with what we wanted to be true for ourselves. And then it was phone call, reading conversations with so many people. I would say that was like a year-long process, just right, like talking.
At least a couple, yeah.
Yeah.
Six or so months.
Yeah. yeah. And again, this is our journey because I know a lot of people, we've spoken to a lot of other owners who are like, yeah, I thought it was cool and went for it. We took the time to learn about different brands and have conversations with franchisees that belong to them. And so that was just a very long process
yeah.
of notes and then discovering themes and understanding what challenges they face, but what opportunities they saw for the future.
Yeah.
And then we came to learn about Pause. And Pause, honestly, what we consider was a thorough way. We're like, we're just going to go look for our due diligence.
It usually happens that way.
Yeah.
And the reason yeah. I think is because sometimes, especially when you go through a process of when you're constantly being sold, the one that sells the least hard is the one you go towards. Because you know what? Look,
yeah.
whether you guys, first of all, you were around kids all day that were probably BSing you into what's wrong with them,
yeah.
right? You were in the CPA world, so you learned to see through the fake numbers and look at the things. So salespeople don't have to sell something if there's a good product, right? Like, you guys see this building. In most of my sales pitches, it starts with, hey, you see that big Atlanta B over there, the Atlanta Braves? I go, they trust me. That's a pretty good indication you should too. Mm-hmm. That's the whole sales process. And I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm like, that's the most prominent team probably in the country. And they've been with me for 15 years. Yeah. There's probably a reason that that's happening.
Yep.
So, but that's the opposite of the really hard-handed, we should go now. That's mm-hmm. the opposite. When someone gives that, a lot of times you've already been through the ringer from everybody else overselling that, wait a second, these guys aren't selling that hard. Mm-hmm. We thought this was going to be a meeting, but this is the one with the most potential. So, all right, so we got to pause. Evan, why don't you pick it up? So what was the process like? So they're reaching out to you. There's a lot of negotiations involved. They're probably giving you demographics. You're trying to match it up with what you know about Atlanta. Talk about how you found the location and how that all got set up.
Yeah, so... you know, to Lisa's point, so we looked at pretty much every franchise brand in the space.
Okay.
How many?
This is not the world I know. How many are there?
There's probably about 10.
Okay.
10 that are.
And all I imagine over the past couple of years are all relatively new.
They've all been, they're all relatively new. And even before we got to franchise, and we kind of said, hey, do we want to do this ourselves? Do we just want to create our own brand? And we felt like speed to market. Was pretty important. And then
I have to imagine technology.
Yeah.
We'll probably have that conversation, but every one of these modern franchises is centered around a piece of technology that would be either exponentially expensive to
That's
do
right.
on your own or would be such an adaptive process it would take years to get the right way.
Yeah. And the thing that was exciting about Paws was, you know, they were punching, you know, way ahead of their weight class.
Okay.
You know, they're only in California, but we would be talking to people here that had been to Paws, had heard of Paws.
But let's talk for a second how far ahead of the curve California is in the holistic space, okay?
Yep.
So I lived out there for a little while. I had an ex-girlfriend whose mother was like making, like she's like an alchemist. And she was like making, like this isn't 20 years ago, 25 years mm-hmm. ago. I mean, they were doing colonics. It was Bikram yoga. They were so far ahead of the curve. I didn't hear about any of that stuff here till almost recently. And it was 25 years ago I was in California.
That's right.
So just the general vibe over there is so different for this stuff. And again, I have to imagine that the film industry and people coming over here helped the adoption come over here. But I think it's important to say California and Atlanta are very different places.
That's right.
They are very different in wellness and what people do and what people look at and how people manage stress. It's also different. Like most people are seeing a therapist there. And like just, the whole world is so different. So I just think it's important for the listeners to understand, like, these are not like we ran down the street and it's just like from Birmingham to Atlanta and we're in the same place.
That's
these
right.
are totally different places.
That's right.
All right, carry on. Sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, no, but that's a good point because, you know, what you see is a lot of trends start in California and then they make their way east. And so I think you've seen a lot in this health and wellness space that the same thing has happened. Mm-hmm. You know, two of the major franchise brands, you know, have started in California and they've kind of made their way out. So I think that's a good point that you brought up. But in terms of our process, so once we had decided on Paws, you know, we went out, we flew to L.A., we met with the leadership team, we kind of went through, we visited sites out there. They had some really good relationships here locally from a real estate perspective, so they connected us with a local broker, and then it was a process of going to the sites, vetting the sites. We were very, very strict with our real estate requirements because we want to be where our customers are.
Sure.
And we think Avenue East Cobb is where our customers are. That particular location was also attractive to us because that's where I grew up.
Okay.
So I went to Pope
High
School.
I was going to ask that question. Okay.
I was an athlete. I played Division I football at UConn. So
cool.
I got a lot of connections to that particular space and that particular
community.
You were
in the wrong sport. You were in the wrong sport at UConn. It's a basketball school, but I'm just kidding.
We did okay.
I'm just kidding.
We did okay. But I think that was important, that community connection.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the Avenue, they've gone through a whole redevelopment. And so we thought that was super exciting. So we looked at a lot of spaces.
Yeah.
We thought the Avenue was really the best fit. And then once we had, you know, the site, then there's a whole nother negotiation process with the landlord of trying to negotiate the lease. And you got to have attorneys involved and going through all of that.
Yeah, and you're trying to tell the landlord, look, we're drawing people in too, right? This is a
benefit
to everybody because we have a constant flow. We're busy all the time. So we're trying to bring people in. What is the value to the other people around here? It's a negotiation. And before I get to, Lisa, are you from here also?
No, I'm not. I'm from Connecticut.
From Connecticut, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I think...
If I can just add one thing, please. Because again, very different perspectives. I'm coming like a deer in headlight is how
I
describe my journey.
Yeah, where in Connecticut, by the way? Are we talking New York City, Connecticut, or are we talking Connecticut?
Well, I was born in New York City, okay. And then we like moved Hartford, when I was 10. Like Hartford, where were we talking? Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we moved when I was about 10 to Connecticut.
But New York metro area, Connecticut.
Danbury?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to make sure.
Yes.
I don't want to establish these things because Connecticut changes
close
very
enough.
Quickly when
yes,
you leave and
true.
You go up. And
absolutely right.
Yeah.
UConn is the cows. You know, Danbury is not.
So I was a Queens kid that moved to Long Island. So the Queens to Long Island is the same thing as Brooklyn to Connecticut.
Yeah.
You go a little further and you're doing a little bit more roundabout way. But really, we're probably waving at each other across the Long Island Sound at the time. Okay, keep on. Go on.
I was just going to add to, as I've been saying, when you're going to these different sites. So, for me, you know, not having any of this experience, it definitely was a feeling. You go into a space and you look, you have to use all of your senses to kind of like determine whether this is right. Something feels off, stuff doesn't feel off, and then talk it through depending on your communication style. But for me, it was totally talking it through because it was like something was not right. And what was it? And so just really paying attention to what's around you and not being, you know, because some people lay out the red carpet. And so it's very easy to be like, wow, they're so nice. But
I
you have to look more at that.
Feel is the word. And from my feel for Atlanta, the difference between, because the natural reaction is probably Buckhead or Brookhaven or something like that, or Dunwoody. But what I have found is the Roswells, the East Cobbs, those tend to be newer money. And they are more open to doing things with their money than the old Buckhead people who are rich and cheap. So I don't know a nicer way to say that. So I'm just going to come out with it. So I have found, this radio station has 180 clients in a given month. So I talk to a lot of people. And everybody that is in an experimental space that tries to go in and bully their way into Brookhaven or Buckhead fails much quicker than the people who are going to the Roswells of the world, the East Cobb, the Woodstock, those areas where people are more open to explore this stuff and families and things along those lines. So I think it was a smart move. Tell us a little bit about what drew to that location. Obviously, the landlord's giving you a bunch of demographics of who the people are. What are the other stores in there? What was it that really caught your attention?
Well, it was all the above. I mean, so Avenue right now has made a huge investment in the community by redeveloping the Avenue to, you know, really a world-class destination. So that was exciting for us in the timing with that. Also, there's a lot of what we like to call accelerator brands. So there are, you know, I talked about, you know, wanting to be where our customer is. So there's a lot of brands there that we feel our customers like to frequent in that space. So that was also a very important. Parking is very tricky with some of these places. You know, maybe a great location, but there's no parking. So there's a lot of parking at the Avenue. And then similar to how we vetted the leadership team at Paws, we also vetted the leadership team at the Avenue. And they've got a world-class team there that's there to support tenants. We have a great working relationship with them. So it was really all of the above. Obviously, the demographics are wonderful. Yeah. You know, the incomes are wonderful. It's just a busy place. It gets a lot of foot traffic. So all of those things, I think, contributed to us wanting to move forward at that space.
Yeah, and I think the point is here is like there's so much that goes into this. And I think that everyone always sees the tip of the iceberg. And they're like, oh, they just started.
Yep.
So I do want to take the time because there's a Stretch Lab as an example of a newer franchise. Mm-hmm. And I've gone for a year now and there's a guy there named Zavi and he'll get this. So I'll send it over to him. The establishment as a franchise was fine, but I found the guy that was right. And I mean, he was an ex D1 athlete and just stretching and putting that hour a week to myself to go do those things has been completely transformative.
Oh yeah.
So, and you know, it's annoying. The tech doesn't work the way it's supposed to sometimes, but I'm okay with that stuff, but it's also still about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going because of the app. The app makes it convenient to cancel and book, and it really was the thing probably the first two or three times, but the people that you have greeting, those fundamentals will never change.
Yeah.
So talk about, we found the location, now we got to start staffing this puppy.
Yeah.
In an industry that neither of you have been in, talk about the staffing, and then I promise we're going to get to the fun stuff and talk about what they actually do.
Yeah. So once we found the location, you know, Paws has a really good playbook for how to open locations. So before we even get to hiring, you know, we have a very aggressive grassroots campaign that we do within the community.
Okay.
So probably for about 3 to 4 months prior to our opening, we were out in the community. We were tabling, we were doing events where we would bring in complimentary services to do cold plunges, compression.
Yeah.
We would be partnering with other businesses.
Yeah. And they probably have a geographic area that they give you, hey, the likelihood of someone coming in from 14, 50, 30 miles away is not it.
Yep.
So here's your geographic area that most people will come from.
Very targeted with being rooted in the community.
Yeah.
So we did that for about 3 or 4 months, and we probably did probably nearly 100 events.
Yeah.
You build up a pretty significant, you know, email list, contact list.
Yeah.
And so by the time you get to opening, you've already got a lot of people that know we're coming, that are interested.
Yeah, and that's that word of mouth advertising.
That's
by
right.
far the strongest form of it.
It's the strongest
but
form.
But excruciating, exhausting.
So tiring.
It feels like on the problem that people, you feel like out of each individual interaction, you didn't get enough. But when you look at them cumulatively, you're like, okay, this was worth it.
That's
not how people think. Yeah. We're always thinking in the moment. And in that moment, it's like, oh my God, 3 people came up. What's going on? But those 3 people multiply. They're so not used to talking to people in person and seeing that they're probably like, but also like it takes a banner ad 44 times for someone to see it to have any impact, you get that impact immediately.
Yeah.
And then you're in the community and you can say that and they're like, oh yeah, you know what? I saw those guys. They are part of the community, not just saying it like everybody else does.
That's right. Yeah. So, we viewed, a lot of other businesses that just open the door and hope people come in. We took a very aggressive approach 3 to 4 months out to start building that community connection, getting out there, networking with other businesses. And that's been great for us as we open really strong. So that was really important leading up to getting to open. The construction process for brick and mortar is not easy.
Yeah.
That
permitting, I'm sure, is fun.
Permitting is challenging. You know, we are the only business in Cobb County that has health department approval for our cold plungers and our float tanks.
Wow.
That was not easy to get.
Yeah. But that's immediate barrier to entry. Because
exactly.
Now all of a sudden, it's making it harder for competitors
for other people
to
do it.
So that in itself, if it's promoted the right way, because you still have to get that message out there, but it is powerful. Barrier to entry is one of the biggest parts of business that is underspoken of, because if somebody just comes in and copies your exact thing, then you're competing over the same bottom of the funnel
right.
activities and people searching on Google. It's hard to market. But if you have a competitive advantage, you can start top of the funnel because you're automatically differentiating yourself.
It's a huge competitive advantage because people come in. And they do this now. They come in, they look at the cold plunger.
Yes,
is it
do.
Clean? You know, what do you guys do? And we're like, look, we have very stringent hygiene protocols. This has been approved by the health department. And it gives people some more comfort that, we're not just someplace that popped up and threw some plungers and some water.
It's not like when I was in Mexico and I got my tongue pierced and I was like, a frozen margarita will fix everything. It's not like that.
It's not like
okay,
that.
I just wanted to make sure.
It's not like that.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
True story, by the way.
Yeah. So that process, around permitting and construction, that was also part of it. But in terms of staffing, because you asked about staffing once we got there, again, the franchise was very helpful in terms of giving us guidelines on how many people do we need.
And these are modern companies with data. And this
yes.
is probably where you geeked out, because they probably came to you not with a, hey, John in Encinitas said it needs this. They're like, all right, here's our data. Here's this, where they're coming in from. Here's the kind of people that work best. You're probably getting data that you're like, okay, this is helping me paint a much easier picture than going in blind.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And we were looking for people with a lot of hospitality experience.
Yeah.
Have you worked at Four Seasons, Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Places that are really, really high on customer service. Because I think you made a point earlier around it is a business, but we're in the people business.
Yeah.
We're making people feel good, look good, live better. And you got to have that personal connection.
And I imagine, so one of the things for me when people talk about hospitality that they don't understand is empowerment.
Yep.
Because you guys are now so invested in the business and there's local owners, you're able to empower people, right? Because the Four Seasons is the Four Seasons. The Ritz-Carlton is Ritz-Carlton, because each employee had like $1,000 per se to always make something right for somebody.
Yep.
Everyone says that they want to be, good customer service, but they don't empower their people to be able to make those things good.
Yeah.
Stuff happens, man.
You're
talking about somebody who thinks, what if they jump into a frozen cold plunge and then go into, and like they're just not ready for it. It's jarring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you got to be prepared. Be like, okay, look, I understand that was jarring. Why don't you try this service? This might be a little bit more your speed.
Mm-hmm.
If those employees aren't empowered to do that, then that's the problem.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that the best companies have done a really good job of is that they put people in a position and empower them to succeed if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Just lying to yourself and saying nothing's going to go wrong is just a foolish endeavor.
That's right.
This world, something's going to go wrong.
And every customer that comes through our doors, one of the things that our team is trained to ask is, why are you here?
Yeah.
How can we help you feel better? Because somebody may be coming in for, recovery, and somebody may be coming in to they want to sleep better. Somebody may be coming in because they, you don't want to relax. So we try to understand that and then direct them to the services that address that.
Yeah.
So that's really important.
I'll go into
well.
the staffing part, which is, again, a question that Nick asked. So I did a lot of talking to a tremendous amount of people, whether it was through computer first and then it was through screen, computer. We did Zoom and then we would meet in person. And so it was, I think we streamlined the process as we learned more and more about what we were looking for. So yes, we totally got a lot of support around here's the kind of person. But again, I'm going to bring back to you feeling. What was my feeling when I spoke to them? One of the strategies that I use is to be absolutely transparent. This is what I'm looking for. Yeah. This is what we are going to build. Not trying to build. This is what we're going to build and what we want to be true. And if that's not for you, that is okay.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
We do not want people who clock in and clock out. Getting a job, that's real life. Everybody needs to earn money. And that's why you're here, right? Because you want the opportunity to earn money. But this is going to be more than that. And you need to understand that. And if that's too much for you, then that's completely fine. But if you're entering, you need to know that.
And that's where a lot of the, there's probably been, I would call it 3 or 4 generations of franchisees. Yeah. The last generation of franchisees, that's where they broke it, right? That's like the massage envies of the world. And those are the ones that got so big. Everyone, the owners were owning 30 or 40 to make money. And you cannot manage people if you're only having 30 to 40.
Yeah.
Then the one person you put in charge of each location has no skin in the game. They're not empowered to make decisions. So you saw it. And that was the difference. The only reason that I'm at this stretch lab is because the same guy's been there. He leaves, I'm out. Mm-hmm. And I can't make that clear. And I do all the time. They probably still don't believe me. But so I think that's a really good point. All right. So we've lollygagged about it. We've talked under the iceberg, which again is not the fun stuff. So let's talk about some services.
Yeah.
So I missed my appointment. I'm going to get up there to do a contrast. And it's only because I believe in all of the benefits of it. I had a Finnish girlfriend whose grandfather made saunas. And I know that they've been doing cold plunges into saunas for thousands of years. Yep. So let's start with that one. Talk about contrast therapy. Talk about, obviously, athletes are doing it. You see that stuff. But talk about some of the benefits and talk about the kind of people that you would refer to go that route.
Yeah. So before I talk about contrast therapy, please, let me also just, Paws is a one-stop shop for health optimization and health wellness. So contrast therapy is one of basically 7 services that we offer.
And I love that, by the way.
Yeah.
7 is the number. It's like, look, we could add more, but then we're starting to get to the stuff that isn't going to really help you.
Right. That's right.
Right. You see these menus, and a spa in a hotel is a great example. How do you need 74 services?
Mm-hmm.
Pick 6 that you're really good at and just stop. But that's it. 7 is that's the number to me.
Yep.
10, a dozen is you're starting to get too high.
Yep.
You have flexibility. Maybe 1 or 2 come about. You can add 1 or 2, but you're not at a level where it's intimidating. You're not at a level where you're trying to be something you're not.
That's right.
All science backed. That's the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the 7 that we have are all science backed. So sauna, cold plunge. We offer flotation therapy, LED light therapy, compression. We have a medical arm that does IVs and drips and vitamin shots. And we also offer cryotherapy. And that's one of the unique things about Paws is, our design is to allow you to be able to basically address your whole self, your whole well-being, and not just one thing. So you do have some of our competitors that may do just sauna or just cryotherapy or just IV. We try to be a one-stop shop for folks. So they can come into our place and we can address a whole variety of different issues or challenges that you may be having.
Yeah, I think it also allows you to be proactive with wellness, not reactive.
That's correct.
Right? So you go to cryotherapy in certain situations, but now you're being proactive. So if you go in a week and you're not having X problem, then maybe you try something else because it will help with this. So again, we've become too reactive as a country for healthcare.
Yep.
We are not being proactive enough. So being that way, you're not just saying, here's the one, you have to come in and use it when this happens.
Yeah.
You're being proactive. This is how this could help you overall. So you don't have to use all these services.
Yep. That's right.
And that's important, I think.
To answer your question, to get to contrast therapy, because that is our most popular. Yeah. That's the one people see all over social media and all the excitement there. You said, who do I recommend it to? Everybody.
Yeah.
It is, you're really missing out if you haven't experienced contrast therapy. You talked about people always seeking dopamine.
Yeah.
Which is true. But look, you can come into our place and get in the cold plunge for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And when you get out, your dopamine is going to be
but
up.
But you're also 250%. Got endorphins. You got the other parts of the chemical. The other reactions.
The
problem with dopamine is that, dopamine is just, so dopamine pretty much is like, get out of the pool, right? It's freezing. My body doesn't like it here. So your dopamine's what's saying, like, you get out, but you fight that. So then all of a sudden your body relaxes and then you have all the endorphins and all those other things coming.
Yep.
The problem is when we talk only dopamine, yep. when people are flooding only that dopamine receptor because that is the anticipation thing.
Correct.
So I want to make sure dopamine's not a bad thing,
yeah.
but we've psychologically rigged our brains to only seek after and there's no answer to it. And that's when you're caught in that feedback loop of where addicts come from and everything.
That's right.
But completely different time. But that being said, we talked ourselves through this entire segment. So we're going to come back. We're going to go into cryotherapy. We're going to go into all this stuff. You've been listening to The Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3 and we'll be right back.
Now back to The Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to The Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3. We have flown through this, guys. Honestly, I appreciate it. We covered a lot. We're bobbing and weaving like we always are. So let's finish. Evan, why don't you finish about the contrast therapy?
Yep.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to create some scenarios of various people that might come in certain circumstances. And I'm making these up, I promise. There's nothing written.
Yeah.
And let's give some answers. So give it people idea of when their brain's going, of, oh, you know what? I didn't think of it that way. So
yep.
finish on contrast therapy is your most popular. It is the one I think is the most appealing.
Yeah.
But finish up on that one and we'll get into it.
Yeah. And just so folks understand what contrast therapy is, it is essentially rotating between, you know, a sauna, which is hot, and a cold plunge, which is cold, which is where the term
contrast. Yeah, and we're contrast. Not talking tepid. We're talking 104 degrees in a sauna.
Our sauna, and, you know, we allow people to be able to set the temperature where they want it. But, you know, 150 or above is typically where people like
and
to have that.
And about 40-ish for the cold plunge?
The cold
like
plunge
that?
Is typically between 48 and 50 degrees.
Okay. So cold and hot.
We're not
going warm and kind of chilly. We're saying cold and hot.
That's right. And we give people, you know, a base protocol to follow, but we typically tell people to follow what feels good to you. So for me, that may be 8 minutes in the sauna, 2 minutes in the plunge, and just continuing that cycle.
Yeah.
Some people may want to do 40 minutes in the sauna and just end with cold. We typically like to tell people, figure out what works best for you and what you get the best reaction from.
Also, there's no win. If you go in there for 30 seconds, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
You've gotten the benefit because it is cold, right? Like,
especially
that is
those
shock
first
30
seconds, because the next time you do it, it will be easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then you
exactly.
do it for a minute. No one's saying go in there,
but
like
everybody
LeBron
thinks
James,
they fail. So. But they think they fail if they haven't made the 2 minute mark, if they didn't weren't there for a minute. And so we just need to dispel that as
I'm going to guess. I'm not a scientist, but I'm going to guess because of what I know about saunas. It is better to stay in the sauna for longer. The longer you're in the sauna, the sweat that comes out of you, those things, the detoxification is more important. Even 30 seconds in the cold pool, especially after being hot, is probably good for your body. Dilation and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, and I think that's important, the science that goes into this.
The science on cold is 11 minutes a week is about your target of what you want to get. Now, you can get there by doing, you know, 11 sessions of a minute. You could do, you know, spread it out how you want. But 11 minutes of cold is where the science typically says you're getting all the benefits of cold. And with sauna, sauna's a little bit different. The more you sauna, the more benefits you get.
Yeah, okay.
There's not necessarily a time frame, but the more you do it, the higher the benefit.
So I would come in, and the second I go in the cold in the sauna, I would have blaring heavy metal, the loudest music you've ever seen, because that's how I would regulate, and I would breathe through it because that's what I work out hard. And then I'd go to some like classical or jazz in the sauna to just chill me out.
Yeah.
That's how I would do it personally.
Perfect.
That is not based on science. All right, so let's do this. I'm going to set up a couple of scenarios of different people with different things, and I'm going to have the two of you make some recommendations as to what a good starting point would be. So let's start with the most obvious one, okay? I start January and February completely clean without drinking. I cut a lot of stuff out of my diet and it's awesome. By December, it all goes to crap because I just destroy my body because of what I do for a living. So I'm going to start in January. I will be 5 pounds heavier than I should be, but I will cut everything out quickly. I'll cut coffee out. I'll cut booze out.
Yep.
And I want something supplemental that will speed up the recovery process so I start feeling better quicker.
Yep.
Go.
So I'm going to put you in the sauna because let's detox all of the junk that you put into December.
So many toxins.
The drinking, the sugar. Let's put you in the sauna and get you in there on a consistent basis so you get the detoxification going for your body. I think that would be number one. And then I think, obviously, because of starting a new year, I think the mental clarity that comes with the cold plunge would also be great. So I would highly recommend contrast therapy.
So we're talking functional stuff.
Yep.
Those are the functional things. All right, Lisa, now I'm going to go to you. So similar story, except I got the biggest interview of my life in March, and my skin's now oily, and I got pimples because I've not been taking care of myself. And let's talk more of a cosmetic approach. What advice would you give there?
I do have to tell you, not to be long-winded, I would first ask you, tell me more about what you're looking for, because the obvious answer would be light therapy, right? Let's get you into light therapy. That is the gentlest form of detoxification, and it really helps you with wound and obviously acne, superficial wrinkles, all those things.
The answer is I don't want to try hard and do any of the other stuff. I want you to miraculously fix
me. Anything is because it takes everything takes work. So no, but
at least if you're
it's
honest
also
with me,
yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just be honest.
Everything, but it's not about hard. That's again because I don't want people to miss what it is, right? And so no, that is not the hard. It is nice, and it's surprisingly so relaxing. That's what I found personally through the light therapy, that what those benefits that
I
you
did
get.
Acupuncture once. It was actually relaxing.
Yes.
It was not as everyone was like, oh my God, you're gonna be pinched. I'm like, yeah,
no, you barely feel it. Yeah, no, but red light is obviously going to be something that I would recommend, but I would also say sauna to detoxify your skin, because all of that is because you're clogged and inflammation, right? All of these things stem from the inside, and so you are helping your body heal itself,
right? But I don't want to take personal accountability. I'm American, and I want you to fix my issues without taking any personal onus and all this. All right, so I do have a couple more, but I have a question for you. The problem with these things is once science proves them, then Amazon goes nuts from China and everything's red light therapy. So how do you differentiate your red light therapy, which is based on science, and a mask from Xinjiang province in China that's coming over with COVID attached to it? How do we differentiate these things? Because they're coming. China's like, red light
therapy.
They're
here. They're
here. And they just put a red light. Yeah. How do you fight those? How do you fight the people who are like, well, I can just buy that on Amazon?
Yeah. Well, I would first of all ask them to look at the very specific information on there. You're funny. My sister literally did that, right? So she's like, well, I'm just going to have one at home. And I said, okay, so what work have you done other than the name Red Light?
Northeasterners love a discount.
And so,
not as prevalent there, but up there, my God, if you see the Marshalls up there, here they're sporadically thrown all over the place. Marshalls is the you can't even park at a Marshalls.
Yeah.
They love deals up there. Keep going, sorry.
But I would just say what distinguishes us is obviously the strength of the light and the spectrums of light. So we have infrared and, now this is slipping my mind, infrared and what is in the red light? Near infrared and infrared. Yes, there you go. And so you have those two lights working at the same time, and the strength that it gives you and the small amount of time, in addition to it is full body. It is not just targeting your face, but it is helping you to reduce inflammation as a whole and repair. Like we said, wound repair, skin, pigmentation, all of those things.
And let me just add to that,
please.
Nick. So that's a good question because we do get that a lot. We have the best health tech in the world. Period. And so, you do see on Amazon where you can go and get an LED mask or something for $50. The efficacy of that LED light, number one, is it the right frequency to penetrate your skin?
The answer is no. I can tell you
how close is it? What's the strength?
Is it even the right kind of light?
Yeah.
Is it even the right wavelength? Is it any of those things?
There's no comparison to an $80,000 LED bed, which you might see in a pause.
Yeah.
So there's really just no comparison. And so I think people should be really, really thoughtful about,
that's your problem with TikTok, right? You put one influencer who's being paid by the Chinese to import these things in and put it out there, and they're promising all this stuff. So look deeper. Please read when institutions, how much work you guys went into setting this up.
Yep.
Those stores in China, they're not doing any of that stuff. They're plugging it into Amazon and shipping it with no ramifications for anything. So
that's right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to set up one last one before we go. So same question, except now I am not in a public facing role as a salesman or something. I'm a nerd and I'm just trying to get a job in a software. So I need mental clarity.
Yeah.
So what would I do for mental clarity? My appearance is not as important, so I need mental clarity. I need the brain fog that I have right now to dissipate and me to be ready.
Come in and float.
Yeah.
Come in and float. I will say float is, of all of our services, the one that's a little bit wonky because some people will love it immediately and some people's going to take time. How many times are you completely deprived of your senses?
I have two little children, so zero.
Right, right. But even without children, you're not going to find that because there's constantly noise, light, something taking away from you. And so this allows you to take, you know, it has 1,200 pounds of Epsom salt. So it's going to help you, number one.
So that's like floating in like the Black Sea, the Dead Sea.
Absolutely. Cool. And so it decompresses your spine. So you're going to get that weightlessness and then also help you with the mental clarity because that's the first time your brain is going to be allowed to enter theta state where that allows the magic to happen. You're going to feel much better rested. You're
that's going to be harder for me than the cryo because my own brain just goes.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And to shut that off.
And which is why I say it's the trickiest. Sometimes
so we're
going to
leave it on that note
time.
And I am now changing what I'm going to try and I'm going to try that and I will come back with my results when this show launches. I'll come back with those results. So Evan, Lisa, this has been awesome. I appreciate it.
Thank
Check out Pause. How do they find you on socials? How do they find you?
Pausey's Cobb on Instagram. PauseStudio.com/East Cobb on the internet. We'd love to have you. Please reach out.
Awesome. You've been listening to the Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3, and we will catch you next week.